from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is being made every day in this country with more Americans engaged in learning the process of early voting, voting by mail, taking a look at their options, maybe more than ever before. There is no simple formula for the best way to vote, the best way to hold an election during a pandemic. 50 states have their own rules, and today is voter registration deadline day in Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio, Texas, and Tennessee. New York State's registration deadline is Friday, October 9th. For the past 6 months, President Trump has tried to cast doubt on the validity of this coming election. He has voted by mail for years, but now he says voting by mail can't be trusted. All the evidence says he's wrong. He claimed during the debate last week that a pile of ballots turned up in a Pennsylvania river. The next day, his press secretary clarified that he meant a ditch, not a river. It was a handful of ballots. They were not actually filled out. How do you plan to vote? Do you have questions about the process? This hour, we welcome elections commissioners to answer your questions. This past June, the primary was pretty chaotic in Monroe County. Many voters called us saying they didn't have information that day about where to go or what was open. Things moved around. Well, this time around, commissioners want no confusion. They're communicating with you to make sure you know your options and what you can do to make sure your vote is counted. We will take your phone calls and emails, of which we already have some, later in the hour. I will also let you know that we are on watch for a possible news conference from Walter Reed Hospital from the president's doctors, as they've done the last couple of days. There is some expectation that his medical staff will update the media sometime this afternoon, and if that happens, we'll carry that live for you. But right now, that's not officially scheduled. Let's welcome our guest now for the hour. The Republican commissioner is Lisa Nicolay, who's back with us. Lisa, thanks for making the time.
Sure. Great to be with you today.
The Democratic commissioner is Jackie Ortiz. Jackie, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
And the Democratic deputy commissioner is Natalie Shepard, who's also with us. Hello, Natalie. Thanks for making the time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Evan.
I want to start just by asking all three of our guests if they can sort of lay out what they want all listeners to hear as we think about options, we think about deadlines, we think about different ways to vote and what is secure. I'll start with Lisa Nicolay. Before we get into specific questions, what do you want listeners to know about voting?
I want them to know that we are doing a very, very diligent job of making sure that everyone who wants an absentee ballot is being mailed one, and that early voting will be up and running for 9 days from October 24th through November 1st. And we have almost exactly our goal as to how many election locations we have for November 3rd. So we are, we're ready. We're working hard and we're ready for people to cast their ballots.
Jackie Ortiz.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. I think it's extremely important for folks to understand that there is a wealth of knowledge on the of information on the website. We understand that voters are always trying to figure out at what stage they are currently in, whether their registration has been received, whether their ballot has been or their ballot has been mailed out. Received. If folks would please go to www.monroecounty.gov/forward-elections, there is a wealth of information there for folks to be able to continuously check on that type of information. And if there's something on there that they are not being able to get, they can directly email and or call us.
All right, Natalie Shepard.
Yes, I really want to make it very clear for everyone to vote. We are extending hours. We have added many people to our staff in order to ensure that everything is going smoothly. We have three options. And if you want to vote any which way and you need more information or you have concerns about anything, please reach out to us. We want to make sure that every single person who wants to vote is able to vote through our options, either through absentee ballot or early election, early voting, or on election day.
And I just want to get one important part of the conversation out of the way here, because our guests have been working during, frankly, unprecedented circumstances for elections commissioners in this lifetime, really in the last 100 years. And Jackie, this is a position that you've only been in now for a number of weeks, given the way your party delayed getting this officially put together here. And by that, I mean people might remember this past summer when there was debate about who ought to be the commissioner. and some of the leadership in the county level trying to block your move to this position, even though an overwhelming number of Democrats on committees voted for you. It was hard to understand how that was possibly happening during a pandemic when time is of the essence, when the White House is saying what it's saying, when the June primary, you know, it had a lot of confusion. I'm curious to know now, do you feel like you've had enough time to be ready for this election, Jackie?
I mean, certainly more time would have been better, but I think that, I mean, it has been about 5 weeks now, and myself and Natalie and working with our partners, Lisa and Nancy, have done everything we can to understand all of the various parts of the process, hunkered down, and really tried to make sure that we've put together documented plans, checklists, staffing needs, everything that we've need to do in order to be able to make sure that this goes as smooth as possible. So sure, more time would have been great, but I think at this point, it's about the amount of time we have dedicated since we've been here. And at this point, we're burning the midnight oil, and we're doing what we have to do to put in the time to make sure that we are as up to speed and moving as quickly as possible.
Are you disappointed with your party, Jackie? Are you disappointed with your party on this?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think it would have been great for us to be able to make a decision a lot more quickly and move forward. But I mean, that's what democracy is all about. You have folks that have a concern, they have an issue. Our system allows the ability for people to be able to have those discussions, those debates. You know, and we're not always going to be always on the same page, but that's okay. As long as we've finally made the determination and moved forward, that's what counts. If everyone's voice is not able to be heard, then we have a system that is broken as well. So for its good and its bad points, you know, it's what we have, and so I think it's fine.
I'll ask Natalie one question on that episode, and then we'll all be happy to move on from it. Natalie, were you surprised at that, and are you concerned about how it's going to impact the actual ability to carry out this election?
No, I am not surprised. I would have been surprised had the tone not been set by Commissioner Ortiz. Like she said, we've been here five weeks. We literally are working every single day. And so with that commitment, I think was able to mitigate the time that we did lose over the summer. So at this point, I have no concerns, and we're literally doing what it takes to get the job done.
All right. So let me ask, I'll start with Lisa Nicolay on this. What's the most common question you're getting from voters and constituents right now, Lisa?
Honestly, from just my side, mostly, should I be mailing, you know, should I mail my ballot? Are we comfortable with putting those in the mail, and are we going to receive them? And honestly, I tell people I think Republicans traditionally, or at least myself and my years of voting, I always want to go to the polls. I want to watch my ballot get cast, right? That's a traditionalist view. So taking that into account, I would recommend people either planning to go to Election Day voting or trying to do early voting. Early voting is really a gift that is not taken advantage of. It is 9 days of a variety of hours, 12 locations across the county. So there's, you know, mm-hmm. anybody who lives in a town or the city of Rochester can pretty easily get to early voting. And the beauty is you can go to any of those sites anytime they're open. You don't have to go to your home polling site. So if I work in Greece, but I live in Irondequoit, I could vote, you know, in Greece or in Irondequoit, whichever's, you know, more convenient to my commute, my life. So I've been really pushing, even with my own friends and family, go to early voting. If you don't want to worry about your ballot getting lost in the mail, either mail it immediately and make sure that it's back with us, or go to early voting or go to Election Day voting.
Okay. Jackie, do you agree with that? Would you say early voting or Election Day over voting by mail?
Listen, we want them to vote however they feel most comfortable, but I would absolutely echo the fact that early voting is underutilized now, given it is brand new for us. We've only had it now for 1 year. And so I do think that we have some work to do as far as creating awareness about those options. But I absolutely think if folks are comfortable being able to walk into a location, I certainly would say early voting would be a great opportunity for people to do that. You know, if they feel that it is, you know, better for them to do the mail-in, I would also agree with Lisa that mail it in as soon as possible. And if you would even like, you can, again, we will have absentee ballot drop boxes at every single location on Election Day. We have one here right now at the Board of Elections. So if folks are concerned about that, then they are more than welcome to drop their ballots off in any one of those boxes, including the one here at the Board of Elections.
Natalie Shepard, how do you feel about that?
Yes, I just want to be clear and make sure that we're not putting any doubt in our voters' minds that if they do choose to vote absentee, that, you know, getting their ballots back to us as soon as possible or even applying, they do have a deadline by October 27th, that mailing them in is also an appropriate and secure way that we will be able to collect their votes. So I just want to make sure that we are not discouraging anybody from voting any which way, but as both commissioners stated, definitely early voting and election day are also secure as well.
And so let's talk about that deadline, Natalie, that you just mentioned there. Again, if people are determined that the safest and best way for them to vote, for a variety of reasons that I think we all could understand this particular year, if they determine it's by mail, what are their deadlines? What do they need to know, Natalie?
Yes, so October 27th is the deadline to actually apply to get a ballot through the mail. That's your absentee ballot application. That's October 27th. We can receive the ballots on November 3rd and the day after, but they do need to be postmarked November 3rd. There are a bunch of guidelines that we do have up on our website for people to kind of check back in to make sure they're falling in line with that. The post office, I know we've heard this discussion over the last few months, is that the post office is recommending that if you do want your ballots to get in on time because of their process and what they're doing, to please try to do it as soon as possible, but at least 7 days prior to the election day.
Okay, and Lisa Nicolay, to be clear, I mean, I understand the point that if voters are worried that a vote by mail, you know, might not count in some way, might be compromised, then what you're saying is you got 9 days of early voting and a lot of people don't use it. And those are usually big empty spaces, and that would be a great opportunity. And I take that point. That's talking to voters' concern. Are you concerned that voting by mail could be compromised?
I don't think there's a way for it to be compromised. I think that the biggest concern that I have is delay, right? So like Natalie just said, the post office saying 7 days. So if you're talking about us mailing you something and you mailing it back, 7 plus 7 is 14. It's not as quick as it used to be. You used to drop something in the mail and it would get to its destination in 2 or 3 days. Now we're talking about 7 days. We're procrastinators. People don't, I mean, if they've got a ballot at home and they're voting and they're dropping in the mail today, sure, it's great. It's going to get here in a timely fashion. It will get counted. I think, you know, the law allows, as Natalie said, up to October 24th for someone to apply. 27th, but that is very close to election day. So there's not enough time to turn that around. And the other thing is, if you indulge me, we've been receiving ballots already, and there are some that are, they need to be cured, which essentially mm-hmm. means that they were missing something, either a signature, they weren't in a sealed envelope, they were not in the oath envelope, they were just in the outer envelope. All of those things, those ballots as we have them right now, cannot be counted. We will do everything in our power to reach out to those folks and ask them how they want us to help cure their ballot. But if people don't follow the directions and sign the ballot and put it in the envelope and seal the envelope and sign the back and all of those things, they're delaying their ballot. They're delaying their ballot being counted. Another common mistake we see is, you know, my husband and I are both going to vote absentee. For whatever reason, we fold up the ballots, we put them in the envelopes, we sign each other's. You would not believe how often that happens. So those cannot be counted until they are corrected. So people need to be very, very diligent about following the instructions and voting correctly if they're going to choose to vote by mail.
Okay. And before I turn to your colleagues for this, Lisa, just make sure that if I were to summarize your views on this, then voting by mail, be diligent, be very thorough, make sure that you're signing the correct one, do it as early as you can if you want it counted around November 3rd, because Americans love to know what happened on election night, and it's going to be harder to get those results if there's a lot of voting by mail close to the deadline as opposed to as early as possible. But it doesn't look like there's going to be widespread fraudulent activity with voting by mail. Is that fair? Is that a fair summation?
All of that is fair, especially the no fraud, except for the fact that we will not be counting ballots on election day or the next day, even if we only had 15 of them. We're not allowed to
to count them until we do a number of things. We're not allowed to open them until we do a number of things. So they will definitely not know on November 3rd who won.
Okay. Jackie Ortiz, how do you see this question on concerns of fraud in voting by mail versus maybe some of the confusion and sort of the user error?
I would absolutely say that folks should not be worrying about fraud. We have very specific processes in place to ensure that we are, as ballots come in, so we've already, as Lisa mentioned, already have received some back in the mail. There are very specific stations set up. When we do the extraction process, they are reviewing those for any deficiencies, as Lisa mentioned. They go on to the investigation tables. The investigation tables, which we have numerous of them, are going one by one, hand picking them up, taking a look at each and every one, comparing that information to what's in our database, comparing signatures. All of that is taking place. And then they sit, and once it's done, they're sitting and waiting. The reason that they're sitting and waiting is because we have to ensure that everyone who actually showed up on voting day as well, we have to wait for that listing. That listing then goes up to the state. They reconcile it for anyone that may have also voted somewhere else outside of Monroe County that comes back to us. We then compare it to what we have scanned in for absentee ballots. That is a huge process because then we have to, one by one, go in and check where the duplicates are. So if Evan Dawson voted on election day and Evan Dawson sent in an absentee ballot, we now have the list that marks the duplicates for us, and we have to go in and we have to hand pull out every single one of those absentee ballots that are a duplicate from someone who showed up either at an early voting site or on election day. It is a very arduous process. It is done that way to ensure that only one vote counts. And so I think it's very important for folks to understand what that process looks like and why it takes the time that it does so that there is not an opportunity for fraud.
All right. So no one's going to like this question, but Natalie Shepard, does that mean that we all ought to be comfortable on election night? Yes, starting at the top of the presidential election, but with a lot of different races all the way down the ballot, not getting results on election night. Is that what you expect, Natalie?
Yes, that is absolutely what I expect. And then I also just want to add on to it, you know, any concerns about the postal timeline, which is completely out of our control. I do want people to know and really drive the point home that Governor Cuomo has issued an order that states we have to have absentee ballot drop boxes at every single polling location. And that is so that if people don't feel comfortable mailing them in, that's fine, but you still want to vote by absentee, which we certainly welcome that. You can go to any polling site and drop it in. You don't have to interact with anybody. You don't have to sign anything. You would, instead of putting it in a postal mailbox, you would put it in our absentee ballot mail drop box.
All right. Jackie Ortiz, will we know the winner of the presidential election by November 10th?
I mean, I...
You hate this question, don't you? It's awful.
I mean, we are going to have to go through the exact same process here that we would for every single race. And so, I mean, I guess it depends on what the overwhelming numbers potentially look like in terms of absentees received versus those who cast their through the machines. But I think it's still it's tough. I don't think you can say that considering the volume of absentees that will be coming in every single state. I think it's going to be every single race is going to have to wait.
And Lisa, we hear absentee vote by mail. I get this question every time we talk voting. I'm sure you get it a lot, too. Do you want to explain when people hear absentee and they hear vote by mail and they ask, is there a difference? Sure. What do you tell them?
We actually don't have vote by mail in New York State. We have absentee balloting, which allows for someone to vote by mail if they are not home on election day. So traditionally, that would be a student away in college, traveling for business. Maybe you're a snowbird, right? Those would be like normal examples of someone who would absentee ballot. With the pandemic in the primary in June, the governor said that essentially you could have no excuse absentee. You could use the pandemic in any form, whether you had it, you were afraid to get it, you were worried about spreading it, so that you could, or any illness, frankly, now it's even wider net. That counts as almost like a no-fault absentee. So you don't have to have any excuse to vote absentee. But it is not really mail-in balloting like other states have.
Okay. Let me get some listener feedback and questions. I'm going to start with Cindy and Henrietta. Go ahead, Cindy.
Hi. Good morning, Evan. How are you?
Good. It's the afternoon, but what is time anymore, Cindy?
Right. Exactly. I just have a really quick question. I was just curious to know why I received a mail-in ballot, but I did not request it.
Okay. I guess I'll throw a dart here. Lisa, you want to take that?
Sure. I'm guessing you received an absentee application, not a ballot. We did not send a ballot out.
It has all the names and everything on it.
I'm sorry?
It's like it's the whole ballot. It has all the names, all the candidates, and fill in here with a circle. And, you know, the mail-in, there's two envelopes. It's not do you want to, it's here's your ballot.
Was it addressed to you?
Yes.
Well, I can look you up if you want to offline. You want to give me your name and address, but we would not send a ballot to someone who did not request it.
Okay, I mean it looks very official from the. I think it's the Monroe County Board of Elections. Unfortunately, I don't have it with me, but I also talked to a couple of people at work that had the same thing.
Okay, so would you say, Lisa Nicolay, would you say Cindy ought to call the Board of Elections and get this cleared up?
Yeah, definitely, because we you know, the system only allows us to send out a ballot to someone who signed and returned an application requesting one, or, you know, did that via email or phone. The governor's now allowing that. But we have to have a signature on file that requests an absentee ballot. So I would argue that it's either not really a ballot, it's just an application, or it was sent to someone and you got it by mistake.
All right, so what's the number to call for Cindy and anyone who gets confused about this?
Yep.
753-1550.
1550, right? 1550?
Yes, correct.
753-1550. That's 1550 to call the Board of Elections just to kind of get that cleared up, Cindy, and I hope that helps you. Let me read an email from Robert who says, Evan, I received a letter stating that my polling place is St. John's Home on Highland Avenue. The Board of Elections website says my polling place is School 12 on South Avenue.
Yep.
Both cannot be correct. Only one can be my polling place for this election. Can you correct the website or send follow-up mail with the correct polling place? I live on Azalea Road. As an aside, Robert says, the voter ID card with the barcode I received prior to the primary was a great idea. Thank you to the Board of Elections. That's from Robert. Did I hear Jackie jumping in? Go ahead, Jackie.
Sure, no problem. And so thank you so much, Robert. We absolutely understand there are some folks so everyone received a voter information sheet that was mandated by the governor's executive order. That particular mailing had to be prepared by September 8th. At September 8th, we still had not solidified all of the polling locations. So whatever we had in the system is what had to go based on that mailing and the date that it was required to go. Now, since then, we have updated the polling sites because we had a number of them due to COVID who unfortunately backed out, and St. John's was certainly one of them based on the type of facility that they are, had to be replaced as they were not going to be able to participate this year. So the website is the most up-to-date information as all of the sites have been remapped that needed that to happen, and the voters whose sites have changed will get another notice for those whose sites, again, did change. We're just waiting a little bit longer before we send that, just in case any other sites, for whatever reason, might possibly back out here at the last minute. So we want to be able to send, you know, one more mailing for any additional changes, but we were waiting on that, again, to make sure that there weren't any more that then changed on us at the last minute. So the website is the most up-to-date. Unfortunately, those letters, because of the timing at which they had to be prepared, were not necessarily the correct ones. Please go to the website and check that out, and folks will get another mailing sooner, closer to the election day, if their sites have changed.
Okay. And Jackie, you know, when we look back at June, one of the most common phone calls we got at XXI was, hey, I went to where I thought I was supposed to go and there's nothing here, or this is the wrong location. When it comes to what people are used to for a November election, how much is going to change for their voting in person, Jackie?
So the where the locations they themselves, we had several of them that did change. So again, making sure you're going to the website is absolutely critical. So we normally have something somewhere in the neighborhood, I've been told, about 310 polling sites. This year we landed at about 282 polling sites. So there are certainly a few less, and we've had several of them that participated in the past that did not due to COVID, and we had several, unfortunately, that never answered us back as to whether or not they would participate one way or the other. So we've had to remap those as well. I can't necessarily remember the number on the top of my head at this point, but I want to say somewhere at least in the neighborhood of at least 40 to 50 that we had to remap as well to another location. So what you expect on any other giving year, great. That would have been probably something you could have counted on, but not this year. So I think it's very important for folks not to be able to count on what they were used to, but to go back, go online, check your site. And again, if you get a mailing closer to for your site changing, then obviously you can count on that particular piece of mailing. But this year is not like any other year. So please don't count on what you're used to.
All right. And just to clarify again, how many polling sites total this year?
282.
And how many in past years?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of about 310.
Okay, so a few less, and some may have changed. Check the website. Listeners, if you just joining us, we're talking to elections commissioners from Monroe County about the process of voting this year, what you need to know. We're answering your questions, your phone calls. They're piling up now. That's why they're here. I don't know that they'll sleep before November 3rd, frankly, before the middle of November. And I hope that we all feel a debt of gratitude to our guests, Lisa Nicolay, Jackie Ortiz, Natalie Shepard, and the entire team at the BOE for the work they're doing, and frankly, their colleagues across the country for a pandemic election that they are trying to hold smoothly. If you are just joining us, a couple of points to emphasize again here. We've got a deadline, the 9th, right, everyone, is the voter registration. I've got questions from listeners about that. John says, I thought we already had a voter registration deadline. It's the 9th, is that correct?
Correct.
The 9th. So a number of states is today. New York State is Friday the 9th, voter registration deadline. Then in terms of voting, you can vote in person on Election Day. Check their website to get the correct location. You can vote early at a number of different sites, and we'll talk about those sites coming up here. You'll have 9 days to do that, and that should be a great opportunity if you want a little less congestion and a little more peace of mind. Or you can vote by mail, and their hope is that you'll do it as early as possible. October 27th is the deadline to apply for an absentee ballot. It's got to be postmarked by November 3rd, but the later you go, the more we're all going to be waiting for results.
That's right.
Okay, so that's where we are, and let's take our only break of the hour, and when we come right back with Jackie Ortiz, Natalie Shepard, Lisa Nicolay, we've got a pile of your phone calls to work through as we talk about voting during the pandemic. Coming up in our second hour, calls for support for survivors of domestic violence are up significantly during the pandemic. Local organizations report much higher numbers from not only survivors, but people, often women, but not always, in the midst of abusive relationships. As we move back into the cold months and more isolation looms, we're going to talk about support. You're going to hear some personal stories, and we're going to talk about what comes next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Down the line we go. Tom in Brighton. Go ahead, Tom.
Good afternoon. I have a quick question. I received my absentee ballot, and I'm not sure. I'm going to try to vote at the early voting site rather than do the absentee ballot. But I'm going to take the absentee ballot with me so that if, you know, the line is too long at early voting, I want to be able to deposit the absentee ballot in the box. My question is, do I deposit both the inner and outer envelope in the box?
I'm going to let I'll start with Lisa Nicolay. We'll just kind of throw some darts here and answer listener questions. My guess is our guests can probably fill in quite a lot of the details together. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Great question. I would suggest that you put it in the outer envelope as well, mostly for your own privacy, because your signature is going to be on that inside envelope. If someone does deposit just the affidavit envelope, as long as it's sealed, we will obviously accept that as well. But I would suggest for your own privacy that you put it in the outer envelope.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck to you, Tom.
Welcome.
Yeah, Tom, thank you very much. Marie in Fairport is next. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Well, I just heard someone say they received their absentee ballot. I have not received one.
So here, I can take that for you.
And I'm scheduled to vote absentee.
Okay.
Absentee.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So because of the volume at which we had, we have been processing as quickly as we can, but we did not want to hold any ones that we had completed. So the mailing has been going out in waves. And so at this point, we've had at least two waves go. The third one, we hope that will, and essentially they've been going pretty much every Saturday to their printer mailing house. And then they've been basically getting mailed and being received by voters within about a week or so. So depending on where you were in terms of us receiving your application and processing, it
should
be on its way.
Well, that was from last year, actually, and I just got confirmation that I am absentee.
So the best thing on our website, when you go and look yourself up, and when I say go on our website, it is the www.monroecounty.gov/elections. At the very top of the page, there is a link that you can click on where it says verify your voter information. Anyone can go there. You put in your own personal information. In the middle box, it will tell you at what stage your application and or ballot is in. So it will say absentee. It'll say processing. It'll say mailed. It'll say received. So there are different categories for which they fall into. You can look to see where you are at any point in the process.
I have another question. I wondered why you don't start counting beforehand. I know probably as a law someplace or whatever, but it seems ridiculous to hold those ballots and have to do everything after the fact, so to speak.
Yeah, we absolutely have to, because that is the only way we can ensure that if someone showed up on election day or early voting and also sent in an absentee, that's the only way for us to know to be able to pull out the duplicates until we wait until the actual day is over.
And let's clarify that again here, because actually let me take Scott's phone call from Henrietta, which I think will dovetail with a little bit of that point that Jackie is making. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, hello. I think these things have been covered by the last two callers, but I have the same experience where I just looked up when I sent out my application, which was in the last week of August, have not received a ballot yet. But my other question from there is being nervous about whether my ballot will in fact be counted, understanding, you know, you've tried to allay some of those fears. Even though I've applied for an absentee ballot, can I go in and do an early voting anyway and then just ignore the ballot?
Yes. You can, and I would say you feel absolutely comfortable doing that. If you apply for a ballot, receive a ballot, even vote on an absentee ballot, you may still at any time during early voting or election day vote in person. And your in-person cast ballot will be counted and your absentee will not.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you very much, Scott. Hope that helps. Let me get Fred in Rochester next. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I requested a absentee ballot. I spoke to someone on the phone. They sent me an application middle of September. So I guess the gentleman that was just ahead of me didn't get his in August. So maybe I'm just jumping the gun. It's been 2 weeks. I know some folks in my building have received a ballot. And there was a ballot that was sitting on the ledge outside the mailbox. Evidently, the mailman put it there, or he put it in the wrong mailbox, and somebody put it on the ledge for the appropriate appropriate person. But I haven't received one, and I've been trying to call. I called Friday. I was on hold for about an hour and a half. I've been on the phone on the. Today I was on for about a half an hour and not getting through. So I know you guys are really busy, but is there internet access? I don't have internet access at my apartment. So is there, should I just not be so anxious and chill?
If you just mailed in your absentee application 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Is that what you just... Okay, so
my request for absentee ballot.
Correct. I would absolutely. I understand that it's frustrating and we all want everything right now, I would absolutely ask, sir, if you could please just be a little bit more patient, because if you just sent in the application, even if it was processed, which again, you could check online, I understand you said you didn't have it, but even if it was processed at this point, the next wave will not go until pretty much this coming Saturday. We've been doing pretty much every week on Saturdays uploads to the printer mailhouse, if you will. So even if it is processed at this point, it will not go to them until the end of the week.
Yeah, it was kind of distressing to see an envelope that said absentee ballot on it just sitting out in the open.
Yeah, I don't know, unfortunately, the post. I'm not really sure how to answer that one for you.
Well, I got to say, Jackie Ortiz is clearly the right person for this job with the smooth way you handled the word chill. That was awesome from Fred. I think if we all can just take a cue from Fred, who is, I thought that was a lot of presence of mind, Fred saying he's trying not to be anxious. Should I just chill? It's hard for us to chill. Right now it's hard for anybody to chill. But I think what we want to do is we will all feel that we can if we've got information. That's why our guests, Jackie Ortiz, Lisa Nicolay, Natalie Shepard from the Board of Elections are here, the commissioners and the deputy commissioner, here with us, taking your questions and phone calls and emails. If you, we've opened up some phone lines now, so if you want to call with questions, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255. It's 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Email us, connections@WXXI.org. Here's an email with a person asking her name be withheld. She says, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I am still registered as a Republican. My husband is registered as a Democrat. I sent in our absentee ballot requests on the same day. He received his absentee ballot about a week ago. I still haven't received mine. I am sure it's just coincidence, but boy, if there's ever a time to ensure things are happening smoothly, it's now. All right, Lisa Nicolay, you want to take that one?
Sure. I would say that it's probably just a fluke, and you know, one of you made it in the first batch, and the other will make it in the second batch. But like Jackie said before, if you want to know right now that we received it and it's being processed, go online to that portal. It is pretty easy to use. You only need your own information. It will only allow you to pull up your own, and you can see where it is in the process. And if for some reason, you know, it's not there, like we never received it, then, you know, please ask and we can send you a new one. You can email us if you can't get through on the phones. You can email us at, oh boy, is it BOE?
MCBOE.
MCBOE at MonroeCounty.gov. And otherwise, people think I'm crazy, but you can email me directly at LNICOLAY@MonroeCounty.gov, and I will look into it for you as well.
Great service from elections commissioners.
Let
me read an email from a listener, and I'll kick this one to Natalie Shepard. The emailer says, there's been a good deal of discussion about the options voters are being given for casting their ballots this fall. But what extra precautions are being taken to protect the elections inspectors who must be present at the polling stations for at least 16 hours straight? Are inspectors being given PPE, masks, shields, gloves? Are shields being placed between the voters signing in at the tables and the inspectors overseeing that process, as is the case in nearly all places where employees interact within 6 feet of their customers? What about enforcement of the state mandate that masks must be worn in public places where 6 feet of social distancing cannot be maintained? Natalie Shepard?
So I do want to just say the short answer is yes, that we are making sure that we're not only protecting our poll workers, but also the voters. And so, you know, we have kind of been discussing that you may get some people that want to come in and not, you know, wear a mask. Our sites and our poll workers have been provided with the necessary PPE. And if they're, you know, if by any chance we do get someone who's like, well, I'm just adamant about not wearing a mask, we have put a procedure in place where we're not going to turn anybody away from voting, but that they will be able to vote via affidavit, which will be them getting assistance from our poll workers at that particular poll site away from the public so that everybody is feeling safe and everybody is able to vote.
Okay. I hope that helps the emailer who sent that note. Let me get Barbara in Brighton on the phone next. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi there. I just wanted to make a point about the gentleman's concern about finding ballots, either applications or actual ballot options sitting on a bench or whatever. he need not worry, because that is the entire point that one of your guests was making about how they hold the ballots of everybody to check. In other words, it could be my actual chance to vote by mail sitting there, and it wouldn't matter if somebody made off with it, because the signature won't match, the information they have won't match, blah, 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 blah. So I just think it's very important to hit on issues like this, because people are so confused and so giving in to this insanity of conspiracy crap that our president is spinning. So I just wanted to make that point that it's almost a fail-safe issue, and not only that, it's just important for everyone not to worry and to get out to vote. Thanks,
Barbara. Thank you. I'll ask Jackie. Any disagreement there?
I have no disagreement. Like I said, if folks could see the process that we have, and again, that very arduous task of folks having to take those envelopes, compare the signatures, if there's any question whatsoever, it is put for us as commissioners to be able to take a look at and be able to make a decision on. But again, every single one is reviewed by an individual compared to the system. And if there are issues with it, then we put them to the side. And then as commissioners, we can make a decision as to whether or not we think that that is something that should move forward or not.
All right. Natalie Shepard. Nancy writes to say, and I know this is sort of a repeat question, but it's a very, very common one. So let's keep hitting it. If you apply and receive an absentee ballot, but find you can actually vote in person, is there a problem with that? That's from Nancy. Natalie Shepard.
There is no problem with it as long as your intent is not to defraud the system. There is no problem with it. So if you do request an absentee ballot and you receive one and then you decide that, hey, you want to go in, that is totally fine.
Okay. Nancy, I hope that works. And Lisa Nicolay, here's another common one. We keep getting it, but let's keep hitting it. Dan says, I sent in the absentee ballot request over a month ago, still have not received it. What is the typical time frame for receiving it?
So I believe we've processed everything that was from August, and we're probably halfway through the September requests. Again, patience is a virtue, and we really appreciate the community's patience and support. The best thing to do is, if you want to know right now, is to go on that portal on our website, monroecounty.gov/elections, or just Google Monroe County Board of Elections, and it will tell you where about your application is in the process.
All right, similar question by phone from Susan in Brighton, who's next. Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, good afternoon. I also sent in an absentee ballot application August 24th. I had it hand-canceled at the post office. I have not received it, and when I went on the portal, as your guest suggested, it told me that my address could not be found.
So your address is it. So how you're writing it in there is very important. So if you are like East Henrietta, then make sure you can try it as E space Henrietta or EAST. Try it a couple of different ways. Our systems are very, very particular in terms of your street name. So I would say just kind of try it, depending on what kind of what street you live on, if you will, then if there are any opportunities like that, a north and a south or east and west, you know, those type of things, try it a couple of ways, because our system is very specific in terms of how we have it listed in the database.
Well, thank you. I did put it in correctly, and it didn't ask for a suburb, it just asked for my zip code. I know that it was all correct, but I'll try again.
Good luck.
If you run into a problem, please feel free to email us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Susan, thank you. Good luck to you. You're not alone there, but I think we've got time to get this straightened out. Jim is among several listeners asking, should they add a first-class stamp when they send in? Does that help? What do we say to that? Lisa Nicolay, does it matter?
If you're talking about returning your ballot or your application,
yep.
Either one, I would mail it first class. I don't believe. Oh, I'm not even sure if we prepaid the postage or not. But if we did, it's first class. If you still have an application in your possession that you haven't mailed yet, feel free to drop it off, or bring it in, or email it to us. Those all count. And if you want to do the same thing with a ballot, if you have a ballot that's filled out, you can bring it in. You can hang on to it till early voting and drop it off, or election day and drop it off.
Okay. Shara in Webster on the phone next. Go ahead, Shara.
Hi. I heard that there might be a shortage of poll workers. Are you still looking for poll workers, or are you guys all set in Monroe County?
Jackie Ortiz.
So we are still looking for poll workers, but let me qualify that statement. So at this point, and maybe Lisa, maybe you can take more of this on here, is that depending on if you're a brand new poll worker, I think that on the Dem side, we are all set. We are trying to figure out training and everything else is really the schedule for us in terms of getting everyone done. But I think at this point, the Republican side is still in need of additional poll workers, particularly for 101s, which are brand new poll workers. Right, Lisa?
Yes, we were actually short about 400 a week ago, and we had sent out this postcard, and it drummed up enough interest that we filled the 400 spots, but we are holding a waiting list, so to speak. So if we have people that drop out or change their mind, we'd like to have a few people on notice that we could call in if we needed to. So if you would like to do that, again, you can just drop me an email. That would be great. We will add you to the list. It's LNICOLAY, so it's LNicolay@monroecounty.gov.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A great question. Mary Lou in Irondequoit next. Go ahead, Mary Lou.
Hi. My question is about if a person were to be registered in two states, which can happen, for example, with college students who have now moved back home. If they receive ballots for two states, and if a person were to return both of them, how would that be tracked? How would that be stopped?
So my understanding at this point is when we have the listing completed in terms of the folks who showed up on election day versus those who, again, mailed it in, those who, again, provided it goes up to the state. The state also kind of cross-references in their database as well. So they will look across New York State. I'm not exactly sure if they look across the entire state. That is something I would suspect that they do. But it goes up. It gives us an opportunity for them to then send it back down in terms of providing us duplicate information. And then we compare it to those who have sent in the absentee ballots here and then be able to cross-check those for any duplicates to then be removed. So my understanding is the state of New York will provide us that opportunity to show us if there are any duplicates in our system.
And okay. I'd just like to remind people that, you know, when you do an absentee ballot in New York State, you are signing an affirmation on the back. You are vowing that this is you. You live here. It's your ballot. You voted. You know, it's a felony, I believe, if you lie on that or you falsify your someone's signature or you try to vote multiple places intentionally. So, you know, it's not perfect, but you would be breaking the law.
All right. Emails from Tracy and Tim we're going to squeeze in. Tracy says two quick questions. How do signatures get verified at early voting sites? We've always had to compare our signature to the book that the workers have. Can one of you answer that?
Yes. So now it has been digitalized. So we will have new technology, which are the poll pads, which if you voted in this past primary, you kind of got your first wave of that experience. And what you do is you sign into the table and our poll workers check that in the actual poll pads while you're there. And so as opposed to a book that sits on the table in front of you, it is in the poll pad.
All right. And she says, we applied for an absentee ballot for our child in college and for it to be delivered to their address at the university. The ballot arrived to our home address instead. Should we just put it in another larger envelope and mail it to the college address? Does that make sense?
The simple answer is yes. And I apologize because typically we've had so many this time where people want to vote absentee, but from their home, you know, so we're just returning it to the address on file. So that probably was a clerical error on our staff's behalf. So didn't notice that you had added an address for it to be mailed to. So yes, the easiest thing for you to do would be to send it in a larger envelope to him or her, and then just make sure that they have the return
envelope as well, so they can return the ballot right from school.
All right. Tim says, I voted in every election since I turned 18, but I'm worried you're spreading dangerous information. I plan not to vote this time because the president says there is way too much risk. My vote won't be counted. I don't feel comfortable going in person, and I don't live in a swing state. I'm going to sit this one out for safety. Voting by mail seems foolish based on what the president says. That's from Tim. Okay. Jackie, you want to hit that from Tim?
I mean, I suppose everyone is entitled to their opinion. I would absolutely say again that there are controls that we have in the system that allow us, any voter, to vote in any which way they would like, and it is safe, and it will be, you know, only one vote will count. Again, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I would absolutely disagree. We certainly do not want to encourage anyone from sitting out and not participating in their civic duty. So please do come out. Please do vote in any which form, way that you prefer. It will be counted. Only one will count. And I think it's absolutely safe no matter which way you go in terms of the options.
All right. Lisa, you want to add to that?
No, I would not want to discourage him. I mean, if people are comfortable going to the gas station, Wegmans, anywhere that's, you know, in the public that they've been safe with hand sanitizing and wearing a mask, I would say that early voting especially, but even day of voting is no different. Things will be we have hand sanitizer, we have gloves, we have masks, we will be wiping things down. We will be controlling crowds. If there's, you know, 40 people that all show up at one time to vote, we're only going to let, a portion of those people inside, whatever the capacity is. And so other folks are going to have to wait outside, just like if you've ever been to a small store and they have a limited number of people that are allowed into shop at once. We're going to be doing that. So I really do think it is safe. But obviously, everyone has to do whatever they're comfortable with.
Lisa Nicolay, Jackie Ortiz, Natalie Shepard, thank you for the work you're doing. Good luck to you, and let's stay in touch. Thank you so much.
Yes, have a good day.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Think about the people across the country who are doing what Lisa, Jackie, and Natalie are doing. So important in this pandemic. MonroeCounty.gov/elections. And if you don't live in Monroe County, make sure you're up to speed on your options. You've got chances to vote. More Connections coming up.